When doctors are trying to find ways to treat outbreaks, one path is to study those who've survived the disease. It's being done now with people who recovered from Ebola, and it's something researchers have been doing with AIDS patients for years. Since the start of the epidemic in the 1980s, some people with HIV have shown an unexplained resilience to the virus, and a small minority have survived for decades without drugs and without developing symptoms. Daniel Gross has a story of one of those survivors.
So I've got my tourniquet on and my arm out on the table, straight out.
Kai Brothers is a long-term survivor.
And luckily, Dr. Levy, right, I have good veins for this.
Good veins.
In 3 decades with HIV, Kai has never needed antiretrovirals or other medication. His body has kept the virus naturally under control. Every month for 16 years, Kai has donated blood samples here at the laboratory of Dr. J. Levy at the University of California, San Francisco. After 150 visits, Kai knows the drill.
Pulls the needle out, puts the alcohol swab on there. I hold that down until he has the Band-Aid out, and then...
There's a good reason Dr. Levy has devoted so much time to studying a tiny fraction of HIV survivors. He thinks their white blood cells may produce an elusive substance that blocks virus replication. Levy dreams of the day doctors can mass-produce that substance or develop drugs that induce our bodies to make it.
Do you have my file?
Levy keeps a thick medical file that goes all the way back to Kai's first visit. It's filled with past medical records and even a few old playbills. Kai is an actor, and Levy has gone to see him perform.
So here, July 2nd, 1999, he came. He was 36 years old.
A big, thick file, and 150 appointments later.
Kai has his own reasons for coming in month after month. He lost some of his closest friends to AIDS, including his best friend, Stephen, who introduced him to theater. In the lobby of the UCSF Medical Center, Kai says some of his friends died at the hospital just next door.
I had a few friends who have been admitted there during their final stages of fighting the disease, and so it's just one of those things where you see something and a flood of memories come back. And
Kai thinks he contracted HIV in 1981, at the start of the epidemic, after moving to San Francisco. The virus didn't have a name at that point. For years, there was no treatment. Then early drugs were shown to cause severe side effects. There was a lot of stigma around HIV, and Kai was afraid to get tested.
I kind of carried it around as my little secret.
He was so sure he'd get sick that he emptied his retirement account. Every Thursday, he read the obituaries for HIV-positive men in the local weekly. In 1989, he finally tested HIV positive. Then his ex-boyfriend and his best friend developed AIDS and died a few years later. Kai struggles to describe what it was like then.
Such a profound loss of lives. It was a loss of lives and people and friends.
But another decade passed, and Kai was still around playing softball and acting in local plays.
So, of course, I'm thinking, well, when is it going to be my time? You know, when am I going to get sick? Not only should I, you know, not be healthy, but I should be dead. But I was healthy as a horse.
That's when he took a friend's recommendation to visit Dr. Levy at UCSF. He joined Levy's study on the spot. He later joined several other studies that have deepened the understanding of immune responses to HIV. Kai says he just wants to share his good luck with others, hopefully by helping scientists develop a novel treatment.
I can't even put into words how that would feel, you know, just to know that I could help someone else.
But time may be running out on that front. Last year, one of his regular blood tests showed his immune system was weakening. HIV has surged in his blood. Now, Kai has to decide whether to finally start treatment for HIV. If he does, he'll stay healthy. But doctors say his natural defenses against HIV will disappear. And he won't be so useful for researchers to study anymore. He's not ready for that yet.
I think there's going to be a huge adjustment period for me and just some sort of process of really letting go. I just don't feel like I have given everything that I possibly can. I want to be there at the time when they find something and discover a or leverage it for other people. It's just, I want to be an active participant and I want to be there at the party at the end of it all.
For The World, I'm Daniel Gross, San Francisco.
A version of Daniel's story first appeared in Nautilus magazine.